Hey, I'm Abigail Johnson, and you're listening to the Tennis in the UK podcast. Three grass court tournaments took place in the UK last week, the final week before Wimbledon officially kicked off with its qualifying competition in Roehampton. There was an ATP 500 event in London, the Cinch Championships, a WTA 250 event in Birmingham, the Rothesay Classic, but today we focus on tournament number three. The Lexus Ilkley Trophy was a combined ATP Challenger Tour and W100 ITF World Tennis Tour event in the most scenic location on the grass court tour. No bias, although I was hosting there all week. Doubles champions were crowned on Friday, with top seeds Alexander Nedovyesov and Gonzalo Escobar saving championship point to defeat JP Smith and Rob Galloway, and last-minute entrants Natalia Stefanovic and Nal Hibino combining for an epic 2 tiebreak defeat of Maya Tralinska and Jessica Malechkova. And on Saturday, the singles showdowns brought down the curtain. In the men's draw, number 4 seed Jason Kubler won the first grass court singles title of his career with a 6-4, 6-4 defeat of fellow top 100 player Sebastian Offner. And in the women's draw, Sweden's Miriam Björklund backed up her win over defending champion Dalma Gulfi with a 6-4, 7-5 defeat of top seed Emma Navarro, picking up her biggest singles trophy by several levels. It is 24-year-old Miriam Björklund, who you are going to hear from on the podcast this week. It was a total pleasure to talk to her both on court and after the final on Saturday. As you listen to her, you'll hear how grounded she is and how that has clearly helped her on court. She talks about her initial game plan for this season and whether or not that is paying off, and the impact of the strong relationships in her life, and much, much more as well. So for the next 20 minutes, here is Miriam Björklund. So here with Miriam Björklund, champion of the Ilkley Trophy. Now, I know, Miriam, that this is your biggest title by some distance. So how does that feel to hear that said? Your name is champion.
I mean, it feels great. Obviously, this is what we work for, I mean, the whole year. And I feel like I've done some progress throughout the year. But it's really nice to have this as kind of like a sign that that's true. And my feelings of having improved are it's true, and getting a title like this means a lot. It was one of my goals for the year, so I'm really happy to have done this, and especially on grass, it's really cool for me.
So when you say it was one of your goals, are we speaking a W100 event specifically? Had you put like a label on what kind of title you wanted to win?
Yeah, I wanted to win a bigger title than the previous ones that I've had, and last year I made finals of a 60k, so I said that I would really want to be in a finals of something bigger than that.
Okay.
And here I am, so yeah.
Ticked that box. Yeah. Now that final was, so I was going to say summer of last year, but to make it globally relevant, that was August last year. So yeah, we're going to say about 10 months ago. You reached your career high ranking this time last year.
Yeah.
So you're a little below that. I don't know what the rankings will look like once the points have gone on from this week, but What kind of place do you feel you've been in with your tennis between that career high last year and leading into grass season this year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of aware that my WTA ranking isn't my career high right now, but on the race, I am higher. I am like 100, and that's kind of been where I've been looking this year, because I've decided to play more WTA events rather than ITF events, and that's going to be tougher just based on the fact that I have to qualify, and my opponents, they're higher ranked, and everything is, they've got more experience and everything. So I've kind of known that maybe my career high wasn't going to be right now, but I've kind of done that, you know, consciously with trying to just get the level and playing against those girls, trying to put myself out there and realizing what it is I need to improve to get to where they are. So with the win today and this week, I think that I'm going to be around my career high again, sort of 130 instead of 123. And right now I'm putting myself in a great position to get to another career high during this year. So it doesn't matter to me that I dropped a little bit last week, because I feel like my level is still higher than it was last year. So I know that I can get back there, no problem.
That's great that you can have that perspective. So do you feel, I guess, putting yourself in the deep end like that with the WTA tournaments, could you then feel like it was a little bit more of a manageable task going back and playing ITFs when you've put yourself in that other situation?
I mean, all the girls here in this event and in ITF events are, especially on grass leading up to Wimbledon, are great players. I could have lost first round here, for sure.
You did last year, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
It really is just sometimes it's just your week and sometimes it's not. But for sure, I haven't played many ITF events this year. This is my second one and I'm winning it. It makes me feel good for sure and confident that what I've done throughout the beginning of this year has paid off and I've improved, because today I played somebody significantly higher ranked than me and it's obviously a tight match. If we played tomorrow, I could lose for sure. She's a great player, but I'm still getting myself somewhat comfortable against those girls, and that's been my goal this year. So yeah, if obviously it's a good thing that I'm getting results on this level as well, because playing on the WTA Tour, I've had some really, really great wins this year, but you don't always go as deep as you would want, and that's where all the points are, which shows on the ranking.
Definitely. So you said that the things that you did at the beginning of this year, that's paying off. Is that just a case of what you were saying of choosing the WTA qualifying over the ITFs, or is it other things that you've been working on specifically in training? What have your focuses been?
I think just I've taken a lot of things from wins and losses throughout the year and kind of noticed, okay, this is missing, this is good, this is something I need to keep doing, this is something I gotta stop doing, and all that kind of stuff. So I constantly work on things, and next week it could be something else. I try to have a long-term kind of goal and also short-terms, because you gotta be confident when you play these girls, otherwise it's gonna be tough. So kind of work on things to get me as comfortable and match ready as possible, and that's kind of been, I've kind of been doing that just throughout the year, the whole time.
It's good to set those markers, and it's good to hear you speak the way you do about the level of the sport as well, because I and this podcast are massive advocates for the fact that the margins are so fine and that there can be a lot of movement in those rankings very quickly and the level is so similar. But with those journeys, everyone's journey starts somewhere. So I'm curious as to where and how your journey started in terms of, do you remember when you first picked up a tennis racket?
My mom used to work as a coach for very young kids in the club, because she was a player herself before. And so one day I just came with her to work and I picked up a racket and I thought it was fun. And I was 2.5 at the time and they wouldn't let me join the group until I was 3, because that's a rule in the club. So
strict.
Yeah, I was kind of hitting against the wall from 2.5 to 3 because I was just, you know, a bored child and had a lot of energy, so I needed to get, you know, do something with that. And then when I turned 3, I started in the group and kind of just kept it going from there. I've had my mom throughout my whole life, and I have had coaches, you know, throughout my career as well, and my current coach Jonas Bjorkman has been a great help the last couple of years. I really appreciated our relationship as well, not just as coach and player, but he's a great guy and we get along great, me and his family and everything, so there's a lot of understanding. And I think just my journey's been up and down, but I've always been extremely calm with my own goals, because I'm doing this for myself and not for anybody else. And I think that's why I'm very satisfied with the win this week, because I do my thing the way that I want to do it, and just hope and pray that it pays off, and until now it has, and I'm on track with my own plan, so I feel really good.
I love to see it paying off for you, because you've clearly worked hard. You mentioned two names that have really helped you there, so Jonas Bjorkman, who's a fairly big tennis name in his own right, and your mum. And we were talking about this, you got quite emotional when you were talking about your mum on court. Was that for any particular reason, or just the fact that she's been there for you every step of the way?
I mean, yeah, like you say, it's because she's been there every step of the way, and she also really supports me doing my thing. And a lot of people come in and have their own opinions and think that you should do things a different way, and she's always, you know, trusted me and my instinct, because they know my mom and my dad, they know me as a person, and they know that going against me is probably not going to pay off, especially when I feel strongly for something. I'm very, very open to hearing her opinions and stuff, but if I have a very strong feeling, then we go by that. And I'm just very thankful that she lets me, and she realizes that it's my career and I want to do things the way that I want to do them. And it helps me a lot, because then I get to play freely and I get to choose freely. And if I don't want to play next week, I don't have to. If I feel like I'm not ready for next week, I need to recover or something, she is totally understanding. So, yeah. Also, got emotional because I know it means a lot to her as well. She loves to see it. Sometimes I feel like, you know, it's fun for her, you know, because there are tough weeks. And this is, you know, a fun week for everybody, so it's great. But there is also a third name that I didn't mention in the ceremony, because I didn't feel like it quite made sense back then, but my boyfriend helps me out a lot. He's obviously a player himself, and he actually does a lot of scouting for me. He scouts all my matches, and I do have also Mission Elite that helps me out and scouts, but he's very invested, and whenever I need help, he's always there. So that is not a professional relationship whatsoever, but he is helpful in those aspects, and I do really appreciate that. So I'll thank him by myself. I'll send him a cute text or something, but I just wanted to mention him here because he does a lot for me as well, and I can learn a lot from him. So he's also a very good person to have on my team.
I can cut this if you're not happy to, but I know who it is. Are you happy to shout him out?
Yeah, of course. It's Denis Shapovalov. So he's obviously a very good player himself, and maybe people understand better when they know who he is.
Is he watching the live streams, or does he look at results? How does that work when he's not around at the event?
He does not watch the live streams because he gets too nervous, and he feels like if he's watching and I'm losing, then it's his fault. Because he's like, oh, if I shut it off, then maybe she'll win. So this week, he was kind of busy himself in the beginning of the week, and he wasn't watching, he wasn't able to. And then he kind of gets superstitious and doesn't want to change whatever is going on, so he's not watching. And in the beginning, I was like, why aren't you watching? And now I'm just kind of at the point where as long as he's happy and he's calm, then I'm calm and happy. So we have a good balance there. He helps me out, but he doesn't get crazy involved.
Superstitious chef of Alab, I love it. I've got a couple more questions because I don't want to keep you too long. You haven't even eaten, but you've got good perspective here, I can tell by listening to you, and I'm sure that these people in your life help you with that. But it's also about knowing who you are aside from being a tennis player. So who is Miriam Bjorklund as a person as opposed to just as a player?
That is a very difficult question.
Is that because it's so closely intertwined?
It's just a matter of how you put it. I don't know how the people close to me would describe me, but I feel like I'm very strong-willed and very strongly. I have a lot of opinions as well, but I'm very comfortable listening to my own voice. Basically, that's the one thing that stands out for me, is that I don't feel like I need anybody telling me what to do. And the people around me, I think, would agree that I say that I do come for help a lot. That doesn't change. I do need to learn and grow up and everything. I'm only 24, and I can't do this by myself. But I also trust that the journey that I've done, I've learned something. So I need to trust myself as well. So I think I have a strong... I'm very independent, if I can put it that way. And I'm also just a happy person. I like life. I think life is fun, and I'm a very strong love believer. I value my relationship with Denis extremely, extremely high. It's very important to me, and my family, my friends, I don't get to see them very often, but they're always in the back of my head. And I like doing stuff besides from tennis as well. Tennis is a lot of fun, but there's a lot of fun things out there. So I do a lot of different things, but I'm also, I don't need much to be entertained, to be honest. So, yeah. That got a little messy, but I didn't know how to explain it.
It was great, but it's awesome to hear how grounded you are as well, because I think that really comes through on the court. If you're not comfortable off the court, you won't be comfortable on the court that much. We've seen so many times. I've just remembered something, so it's going to be a couple more questions, but we were talking just before we came on the mic, and you've just said there that you're happy to listen to people and you have people helping you, and I think you mentioned your psychologist. What was that story that you were telling me about being on the losing end X many amount of times?
Yeah, he's not actually my psychologist, but he's a very dear friend of mine, Shell Inhager. He told me about a golfer that would always come second, and they couldn't figure out why, because she was just as good as the girl who always came first. And it was the fact that she just didn't want to give a speech after winning.
Wow.
Yeah, and it can get psychological as that, you know, you don't want to get there, so you kind of stop yourself, sort of. So they worked on that, and then all of a sudden it clicked for her. And I was mentioning that to you because I got emotional in my speech. And that's something that is brutal. I cry for everything, if it's a movie or, you know, whatever. So I know that I'm going to cry when I'm giving speeches. And I've learned from hearing about other people's experiences that, you know, you just get in there, you just dig deep and go through it. You don't have to go around it. You don't have to try to avoid tough things. You can just go straight through it and just kind of embrace it. So that's what I kind of was trying to do as well at 5-all, after being up 5-2. Just kind of like accepting that this is extremely uncomfortable. It gets nerve-wracking, and I'm just going to try to embrace it because, you know, why not?
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's a really good story. I've not heard that one before, but all sorts of things can provide mental obstacles, can't they? And you've got to find ways to be able to take those obstacles on. Okay, you say you set short-term and long-term goals for yourself. For you at this point in time, middle of 2023, what are those short-term and long-term goals? Because you've just ticked one off, so you're going to have to maybe set some new ones.
I really want to win a match in a Grand Slam main draw, because I've qualified and I want to keep qualifying, but I do want to win a match in the main draw, and I also want to try to break top 100 this year to put myself in a position where I do play main draw of Grand Slams more often and give myself that chance. So those are the two biggest goals right now, and keep playing the tennis that I want to play and stay aggressive and learn how to be defensive in the best way possible, and on all those kind of things. Play good players and just enjoy the ride.
Well, ultimately, despite what you've said there, you were brave when it mattered most, I felt, this week, and that really came through, and the grass rewards that as well, and you've been rewarded big time. So, Miriam, genuinely, it's been a pleasure to have you here. Thank
Likewise.
You for coming.
Thank you so much.
It's been amazing to see you. Thanks for taking more time than you said you would here as well. I really appreciate that. Enjoy
no
your
problem.
Food and enjoy what's next for you. We'll be looking out to see how well you do.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thanks once again to Miriam. As I referenced on the recording there, she hadn't had lunch after playing the final when she recorded that and was very generous with her time. And thanks as always to you for listening. If you're listening on time, it will be Wimbledon qualifying week. I am bouncing between Roehampton and the Boodles exhibition event at Stoke Park. So very busy week, hence a slightly later upload than I planned and me keeping it quite concise. But I will aim to be back next week with a podcast probably focusing on Wimbledon qualifying. I will do my very best. It will be in the thick of the main draw of the championships at that point, so apologies if I can't deliver. But if you want to stay up to date with where I am and where the tennis is, you can follow the podcast on Instagram at tennis_in_the_UK, on Twitter at tennis_in_the_UK, although I've let that go a little dormant, so I'll have to take a look at that. And I'm always active on both Instagram and Twitter. You can find me at Abigail Tennis. Thank you for listening, and hopefully see you very soon.